Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020.
Oh my God, 12,776 Bitcoins on a tear, up 6.25 since yesterday. Bitcoin's just going nuts. ETH today, so different than yesterday, ETH is up 6.5% today to 394. So yesterday was really interesting in the markets, where pretty much every single coin, I think except for Tron, was down and Bitcoin was way up. So to me, what that implied was that there was basically a rebalancing act within the markets. That might have been people waking up and being like, DeFi is not as hot. Maybe we move out of Ethereum. Might have been something around like, you know, we're still waiting on Ethereum 2.0. Let's get back into Bitcoin, whatever. It could have just been the trigger. You know, Bitcoin moved up 10% or whatever, like 3%. And everyone's like, hey, Bitcoin's on the move. We better get in on this. So then the next day, everyone, you know, the major price within crypto that gets reported out on CNBC and MSNBC, whatever, is Bitcoin. So then more retail investors see that Bitcoin is up, you know, 5% and just broke 12,000 and broke 11,000 yesterday. I don't know.
It went from in the 11,000s to over 12,000.
Yeah. So then they see that like, oh, crap, we got to get on that. We got to get on this. So then you start seeing retail investors flood in. And then retail investors are the ones that basically lift all boats. So today we saw green across the board. Everyone getting into crypto, ETH up, you know, Bitcoin up, pretty much every single crypto up. So I think yesterday was a response to kind of like a small price movement, some DeFi skittishness. And today was big retail move in. That's my opinion.
Well, exciting times. All right. Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. The biggest news for today is PayPal is starting to support crypto.
Yep. So this is, you know, they've announced this a few times. They've false started on it a few times. They've been trying to find a partner. The partner that they partner with is Paxos. They announced it a little while ago. And then today it's just now starting to come to their platform. I think my personal feeling, this is a response to, I mean, PayPal's already in a kind of tough spot. I haven't used PayPal for years now. I'm in crypto, but none of my friends have. Like, everyone that I know uses either Venmo or Square Cash. PayPal is relegated to paying for things on eBay, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of users, obviously, and I think they do a lot of transactions, but I don't know who's really using it. And a lot of that has to do with their incredibly overbearing security procedures and regulatory compliance and locking people's funds. I mean, PayPal is a pretty terrible company when it comes to what we hold dear and near and dear to our hearts in the crypto world. So they've been teasing this for a while. I think this is a direct response to, you know, Square and Square Cash, because they do compete very directly with Square. And Square Cash, which is their Venmo, PayPal competitor, Square is deep into crypto. And Square made a lot of money on their crypto. So if you're PayPal and you're already getting, you know, you're already getting pressured out of the market, people already don't like your product compared to the new up-and-comers. And now, you know, people are starting to go to these other platforms to buy crypto, to get into crypto. You're getting beat left and right, and you're not offering anything. I mean, still they are. Like, they're still going to be left and right. Like, this is a Me Too move 6 months after it was relevant. But it shows that they are contemplating crypto. I don't know what happens to PayPal and Venmo and Square Cash should not exist in a crypto world. Like, they should, you know, when I think about Kraken made the big announcement a few months ago that they got approved for a bank in Wyoming. What that meant to me was, I don't really care about a bank that they can hold my crypto as well. Like, I don't care if I'm holding my crypto, you know, if I'm trading in Coinbase or Kraken or whatever, it doesn't really matter. What's really compelling, what is incredibly compelling, is if I have a bank card, if I have like my bank where I pay my bills out of, and I can deposit stable coins in there and have that immediately transferred into USD, or even sell crypto and have it immediately transferred. That's where it's really powerful. So, I mean, the play here is for banks to get deeper into this stuff. PayPal, these guys go away in some ways. I mean, except for, it's like it ends up being more of an older generation still uses PayPal, and everyone else uses just crypto directly. I don't know.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. A little harsh on PayPal, opinions. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yesterday, we discussed that YFI, Yearn Finance founder, launched a new network called Keeper Network, and the token is KPR. And Pat, explain a little bit more about this.
Yeah. Coringer came out, did a silent launch on a new token, a new network. The idea was for this to be a task, you know, think about like TaskRabbit. He's doing essentially TaskRabbit on the blockchain. Cool idea. People lost a lot of money because he publishes a smart contract. People put money into it, and then that smart contract gets deprecated. Like, guys, stop just putting money into this guy's stuff until it actually gets announced and goes productized. I mean, I know there's pretty good gains on this, but it's just so silly. But the other thing that I think is really interesting is that this is showing the economics around. I talk a lot about the economics around fundraising within the crypto world, and it has become very cheap to create value, to create cool products on blockchain networks. There was a company just a week ago that raised a bunch of money, and I don't remember, something like $4 million, might have even been $12 million. There was a company that just raised a bunch of money to do a blockchain crypto solution. How you compete, like it is insane to raise $12 million. Let's say I'm totally wrong with this formula. It is insane to raise $4 million to do a blockchain solution for any of this stuff because you have no infrastructure. You're not buying servers. You're not really paying that many people. All this stuff is not particularly complicated. Like you're just, it's so much easier to get access to it. So this was someone doing, they raised a ton of money. And I don't see how the investors ever get this back. I think we are seeing a fundamental shift in the way the VC works within these markets. It is just a totally new world, and VCs are going to get burned badly buying tokens off of these guys that are way overvalued, insanely overvalued, providing no value. That then Andre Coringer comes out and does a literally like soft launch, and it spikes up to $2,000. I mean, like, you just how do you compete with that? You don't. And so VC is changing. That's the big move, the big item here.
Okay. All right. Next, CoinDesk had an article that DeFi audit firms are overwhelmed with demand, and that if you're trying to get a project audited before the end of the year, you're basically out of luck.
Security audits for smart contracts are tough. There's a limited number of people in the world that can do it. I mean, it's probably 20, maybe 50. I mean, there is a very small number of people in the world that can do audits. The guys that are out there are pretty well known, and like a lot of tokens also at this point want to do multiple audits. I mean, this is such a new industry. There's so much money at stake. It's so difficult to do it right that most of the big projects do, you know, two or three different audits from different firms. Plus their own internal audits. Balancer has, you go to their website, they have their other list of all their audits, and all of the big guys have done audits on their code. So this is going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know. The DeFi dip is probably going to help with this a little bit. The DeFi dip. That's a good name. It's the name of the name of the episode right there. The DeFi dip is going to help this a little bit. So it'll probably, you know, if your coin smashes down and that was part of the collateral you're using to get these audits or whatever, you know, or like that you were planning on using to pay for the audit, it's going to go away. So I think it'll smooth out a little bit, but it does show that people are taking this seriously. This is important stuff. Get your smart contracts audited.
All right. Well, last, if you listen to the show, you know that Pat loves crazy Bitcoin price predictions. All right. So did you know his second favorite thing is crazy Ethereum price predictions? So Cointelegraph had an article predicting that ETH will hit 800 by 2020 if this bull mini cycle repeats. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah. 800, it's not crazy enough a price prediction for me. 100% gain is it's peanuts. It's small. It's chump change. You know, CoinDesk, if you're going to bring something like this or Cointelegraph over to this, if you're going to bring it, you know, bring a real prediction. All right. Really make some noise. $800 is, we're just playing with it. I think it's incredibly reasonable. I think that DeFi has fundamentally changed the economics. I still don't think that Ethereum, like I fundamentally believe that Bitcoin will own 50 to 60% of the crypto capital, of the crypto market share for a long time to come. I don't think that that's going to drastically change, but I think that Ethereum has a long ways to go up based on all of the other tokens that are out there. So, you know, all the other blockchains that are out there, they're focused on. So Algorand, Cordia, like all, there's a bunch of other smart contract focused blockchains. I imagine a lot of that money moving into Ethereum. So 800 super reasonable. I don't think this is a crazy prediction. I think this is a very reasonable price prediction.
All right. Well, that's the first time I've ever heard you say that. Thanks for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.